Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before. I am so glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, thank you. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 101 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on April 15th, 2013, and brought to you by Raptor Picks USA. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. So how were your last few weeks? I was pretty sick, therefore I skipped a show last week. I was supposed to return last week, but I was flat on my back. I hope you saw the tweet so that you didn't think I just fell off the edge of the earth. Longtime listeners are probably mumbling, episode 101? Did I miss episode 100? Well, yeah, about that. Over what I thought was going to be just the two-week break from podcasting, which cascaded into 3 weeks because I was so sick, I was finally able to modify the website, which I've been talking about doing forever, and the blog, so that the audio files for all of the previous shows are now on the blog on the top bar, which is pages, and that's on the homepage. So they're there rather than having pages and pages and pages of show notes and audio files on the website. It's just a way to pare the website down, make it a little leaner, as well as locate all the audio in one place easily on the blog. All of the 2013 shows and show notes are on the blog, and all 2010 through 2012 shows are available as sound archives only on the blog. Of course, the 2013 shows, audio's there too. All that being said, as I was posting the podcast archives, I found two episode 088s. One was just a PSA, and the other was a regular podcast that I recorded the following week. So what's a podcaster to do? Of course, this week should be episode 100, but that episode should also be accompanied by some kind of celebration and special things. And having been sick for the past couple of weeks, and those of you who've listened to it for a long time know the past many months have been quite a challenge, I didn't have anything out of the ordinary for this episode, so if I count the PSA as an official podcast, this is episode 101, so roll with it. Sometime I'll surprise you with something special in a random episode. I'm sorry, I just can't record on time and make something extraordinary at this time. We've been through tons of life stresses, which are thankfully, I hope, behind us, but it kind of set everything back, so I apologize for not having fireworks and everything else for episode 100 of the podcast, but we can technically call it 101, so 100's already gone. Please be advised, if you go back to listen to archived shows, I did not begin podcasting with the software nor hardware that I currently have, so you will surely hear variation in the sound and quality of different shows. I think it was during the summer of 2011 when I upgraded to this particular mic that I'm using and the software that I'm using now. So that being said, I have to say there are a few shows that are worth listening to, or at least I found that they were fun and a lot of people responded to. So if you feel like going back, each podcast episode number, date, and title are on those pages on the blog. Well, I was laid low with a nasty bronchial something and cold, and I have a student to thank for it. She will remain nameless. She's on my roster on Thursdays, but I wouldn't want to mention any names. In the past week, I have had a call from a father of a 5-year-old seeking guitar lessons. He said in his message that he read what was on the website, but that he still wants to discuss it. I have not yet called him back, but I will do so even though I can anticipate the kind of parent he is and what he's going to discuss with me. Please, if you are listening, unless you are teaching your own child and you're equipped to do so, don't seek guitar lessons for a five-year-old. I know Suzuki offers a course for wee ones, but in my opinion, it does more harm than good when it comes to guitar. They do a little bit better job with piano and an so-so job with violin. If you have a musically inclined five-year-old, you would do well to have an electronic keyboard for them and perhaps some laid-back lessons for them, or if they are curious and will explore the keyboard of their own accord, that's even better. The baby Einstein parents are zealous for their kids to be fully developed by the time they're out of first grade. Some things are better left to more mature coordination and mental development, as we see with older children. In my experience, about 9 years old is the right age for many children, a little younger if they exhibit some particularly precocious characteristics and abilities. Some boys are better waiting till 10 or even later. And don't let me get started about boys. I think that they shouldn't even start school until much later than they currently do. They mature more slowly than girls and should be schooled at a maturity level, not at a particular age. They always catch up in the end, so it's no big thing to me if I had a son that was starting school at the age of 6.5 or 7 instead of 5. I really wouldn't have an issue about it if he was well-adjusted and mature, but that's in my perfect world. So that's the dad of the 5-year-old. I'll let you know how that call goes. As I record here, we are now in recovery day 167 or 68 since Superstorm Sandy. The boardwalk in one of the shore towns that was destroyed in the storm reopened a week or two ago. It was heartwarming to see news reports of people making it a point to go there and patronize the businesses. Cleanup is still going on, and thank you to everyone who is working to clean up our beaches, helping families, patronizing businesses that have been able to reopen, contributing their time, talent, thoughts, prayers, or cold hard cash to the relief effort. It's going to take a really long time. If you would like to make any contributions, I'll link to the sandynjrelief.org website in the show notes. All my guitars have fresh-ish DRs on them. I like the harmonic convergence. I love new strings. Is this where I mention that before I got sick, I burned the thumb of my left hand? I won't go into details. So that was miserable. Then, when I finally felt better, my way, 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 way overdue spring cleaning finally needed to be done. It never fails that when I do heavy fall and spring cleaning, I break nails. I'm already anticipating that, and generally abuse my hands. It was no different this time. I have Band-Aids on both hands, the middle finger of my right hand and the base of my left index finger. I look like I've been through a war, but at least the apartment's clean, and I have fresh strings on my guitars. Tomorrow night is the Mawa Museum gallery talk by Dr. Charles Carreras called The Genius of Les Paul. I would go, even though I have already heard the talk in the past, but Danielle, one of my students, had to reschedule her lesson, and it will conflict with the time of that talk, which I believe is 7:30. If you are in the New York metro area, especially the northern New Jersey area, you should call the museum at 201-512-0099 to reserve a spot if there are any left. It's extremely informative, and Dr. Carreras and Les's longtime friend Jim Wysocki give absolutely compelling presentations about a man who, in my opinion, and not only my opinion, profoundly influenced 20th century culture. If the gallery talk doesn't fit into your schedule, you just have a couple of months to visit Les Paul in Mawa, the exhibit at the Mawa Museum in Mawa, New Jersey. Visitors are welcome from 1 to 5 on Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. After June, I believe the exhibit will shrink to a small permanent installation unless something develops to keep its present expansive state open. It happened last year, but I really think there are pressures to allocate a lot of the floor space in the museum to other exhibits. So I think there's only a small possibility of the present exhibit continuing. In this week's show, there is one student in the spotlight. The question of the week is, what's up with these 9 chords? News is about a 130th anniversary issue guitar from our friends at Gresh. And Take Note is about Coachella. It's finally here. Are you there? After a brief word from my sponsor, Raptor Picks USA, we'll move along to the student spotlight. Here are 4 descriptions of the genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks with which I wholeheartedly agree. Tools for the creative. From the moment you pick up the Raptor R-Series, it's obvious a great deal of thought has gone into its design, and from the second you touch a string, you can both feel and hear the difference between a Raptor and other picks you've tried. Beautiful and tactile. Genuine R-Series Raptors have 3 carefully sculpted picking tips. They've been created using the same sophisticated design and modeling techniques employed to produce Formula One racing cars, and the result of this design effort means they've been able to take the humble pick to a completely new level of performance. Absolutely amazing. Each picking tip forms complex curves designed to glide effortlessly over your guitar strings. Raptors produce clean tones with almost imperceptible attack that range from that of the brightest, thinnest pick through to the warm, rich tones normally associated with much thicker picks. The pursuit of excellence, that's my favorite. All genuine R-Series Raptor picks are subject to very strict quality control procedures. Each R-Series plectrum is precision molded from high-grade acrylic, then individually printed and inspected to ensure it meets their high standards prior to leaving their UK-based factory. Genuine Raptor R-Series guitar picks are available at raptorpicksusa.com. Free Raptors with a purchase of 4 or more is just another way of spreading the excellence one guitarist at a time. Raptor picks are a registered design. All rights are owned by Black Carbon. The student spotlight this week is Bridget. She's there by herself, even though last week she was off on spring break and didn't even have her lesson. She has been very consistent and embracing all the challenges first-year players encounter, and one by one she overcomes. Very nice work, Bridget. I hope you keep this up. You have all the earmarks of becoming a monster guitar player if you apply yourself the way you have been thus far. I hope that as all the various weeks of spring break conclude, that we will have more company for her in the spotlight. Now, let's move along to this week's question of the week. This week's question is about 9 chords. Not 9 chords, but chords that are a note name followed by the number 9. It came from 2 students and is, what's up with these 9 chords? Are the diagrams wrong? Well, it's no secret, especially to my students and my close musical friends, that I'm partial to the 9 chord. And I'm partial to a very particular one, and it's one that, when played on the guitar, contains all 5 of its tones. If you haven't played 9 chords, and you'd like to hear this little gem, choose a fret on your guitar anywhere from the 2nd fret or higher. With your 3rd finger, bar the E, B, and G string somewhere, 2nd fret or higher. On the D string, use your 1st finger to hold the note that's a half step lower than where the bar is. And with your 2nd finger, hold the A string note that is at the same fret as the bar. If you look at the show notes, I will have a diagram there. I love the sound of this. Let me grab a guitar. So this is a beautiful chord. So here it is. I like it. It's a really rich sound. The first time my students are introduced to nine chords, that's the one that I teach them because it sounds so good. That version of the chord sounds like the substitute for the dominant seven chord that it actually is. But this poor little, well, not poor little, he's poor in that he's all by himself in his classification. He's really a robust nine chord, is out in the cold all by itself. Common nines are still derived from a dominant seven chord, or their corresponding dominant seven chord, I should say. But in those common forms, the root of the dominant seven chord is raised a whole step, which gives you the nine. Right, that's the point that my students were troubled with, is that the root no longer is in those chords. So except for my beautiful nine chord version, the robust one, a C9, for example, except in the way I play it, or the one I demonstrated for you, a C9 chord does not contain a C. So, you know, that's so oxymoronic to me, I can't even go there. I find this quirk rather detestable. For my musical taste, I'd rather sacrifice the five, just as happens in some dominant seven chords that we play. So it's just a heads up. If you see a diagram, if you're not familiar with nine chords and you see a diagram of something called, for example, D9, and you look at where your fingers go, and if you actually know what notes you're playing on your fingerboard, and I really hope you do, you'll notice that the D9 chord does not contain a D. And likewise with all these other nine chords that are commonly diagrammed. So remember, there's a robust version, and unless you have to play it really at a high fret number, which might make its high-pitched sound inappropriate for the context in which you're playing it, that's the one I always default to. I recommend practicing your movable dominant seven chords and their corresponding nine chords. Really look at what's happening when you lose that root, and most of the time you have to reconfigure fingers in order to get that nine. And also listen to it. There's a huge difference here. Let me grab the guitar again. Let's just take a commonly played C7 chord. Plenty of tension in there. It's not my favorite version of C7, but there he is. Now, there's your only root in this chord, right? We've got a G, we've got an E, we've got a B flat, and we've got a C. This C needs to move to D, so now here's your chord. Almost all of the dominant seven tension, even though your B flat's still there. Not a lot of tension there, whereas pretty good. Again, one more time, here's a pretty common C7 movable version. Right, so now he's a D7. So we've got to lose the D if we're playing it as a D7 and change him to a 9. So now he's got an E instead of a D. So be advised, traditional nine chords, except for my robust guy, they don't have a root in them. So whatever they're called, don't look for that note in the chord. I hope my students have understood what I've taught them about that this week. If you have any questions that you'd like me to address on this podcast, please email it to me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. If I use your question, I'll be glad to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick for your trouble. Now, let's move along to this week's news. This week is the Gresh G6128T LTV 130th Anniversary Junior Model. I'm going to just give you a little information from Gresh, and I'm going to take a quick scan of the specs for this guitar, and I'll comment on the ones that I think are perhaps of interest to you. And then, of course, we'll get to the nasty part, the bottom line. The Gresh Professional Collection now includes the striking new G6128T DMC Duo Jet, which features a double cutaway chambered mahogany body finish in black and a three-ply arch maple top finished in dark cherry metallic with single-ply binding. The one-piece mahogany neck has a single-ply bound headstock with pearloid Gresh logo, 12-inch radius ebony fingerboard with 22 medium jumbo frets, and pearloid neoclassic thumbnail inlays, a bone nut, and a zero fret. Other features include dual high-sensitive Filtertron pickups, G arrow control knobs, and chrome hardware, a Justomatic bridge with pinned ebony bass and Bigsby B3C tailpiece, Grover Stay-Tight tuners, and Schaller strap locks. With this guitar and its price tag, it's a good thing the hard case is included with it. So it's a jet body shape. Duo jet is what they call it. Let's see. Mahogany is a nice sound wood. I'm not crazy about maple so much. It's okay. I do love the ebony fingerboard. And we've had this discussion more than one occasion about ebony and rosewood. I would take an ebony fingerboard over a rosewood fingerboard anytime, any place. And I like the medium jumbo frets with a guitar like this. I think every guitar should have them, but I like them. They're very flat. They're broad enough to make a difference and make playing a breeze. It's great. And when it's a chambered body, you understand that this is a hollow body guitar. And they have a rather distinctive sound. The hard case is included. There has been no expense spared on this guitar, and it is reflected in the MSRP of $3,200. That being said, and people think I don't like lefties because when I teach a lefty who's a beginner, I teach them righty, but nothing could be farther from the truth. I love lefties, and I have very close friends who are lefties. There is a lefty version of this same guitar. However, its MSRP is a whopping $5,100. I did not compare the specs, so I can't say if the premium price is strictly for the lefty rebuild or if there are some material cost differential that causes this to be up so much more. They are beautiful axes if you like and can afford them. No doubt the street prices are going to be less. And if you want to play one and know where street prices are good near you, I say go for it. They're beautiful guitars. I will have pictures in the show notes and links to where you can go and read all about them. Now, let's move along to this week's Take Note segment. My Take Note topic this week is Coachella for those who can't and didn't go. So the countdown to Coachella's first weekend has passed, and this coming weekend will be the follow-up to the first weekend of the festival. And for those of you who have listened to my comments to my student, I should say my former student, Anya, ad infinitum about Coachella over the past couple of shows, no, she didn't go, but last week she went to England instead. She'll have many more chances to attend the music festival in the desert another time. The offer of a trip to England was a one-time opportunity, and with good reason, she accepted it. Anya, I hope you have gotten over your jet lag and had a great week on the other side of the pond. I'll be talking to you soon. We've got to catch up a little bit. As for Coachella 2013, the website has the lineup for this week's performances, ticket availability, travel, lodging, maps, links to videos from last weekend, and on and on. There's also an official Coachella app for both Apple and Android. It's a cool party in the hot desert. Enjoy it if you go, and if you don't, you can hear and see a lot of the acts. that wraps it up for this week's segment of, well, kind of episode 101. Following a short word from my sponsor, Raptor Picks, we'll move along to the outro and wrap this baby up. Once in a great while, something comes along that's literally revolutionary. Not this bogus stuff, literally revolutionary. The Raptor R Series guitar pick is just such a creation. It affords its user a sublime quartet of sounds which can be summoned with the mere rotation of the brilliantly designed Raptor pick. Not only is it a beautifully executed, ingenious idea, but the first experience of playing with it is almost impossible to describe because it's so different from anything you've ever used. Get past the unusual feel of the Raptor guitar pick, and the door to faster, cleaner, and more creative playing swings wide open. Your grip will be sure, your attack will be silent, your projection will be enhanced. Add to that the technology that enables the pick to glide over your strings rather than bluntly striking them, and the genuine Raptor R Series pick stands alone as an asset to every guitarist who uses one. Seasoned pro, this pick allows for more subtle differences of expression because of the variety of timbres it produces. Intermediate recreational guitarist, improve your sound by upgrading your pick. Rank beginner, prime your creativity right from the outset. Genuine Raptor R Series guitar picks are available at raptorpicksusa.com. Free Raptors with a purchase of four or more is just another way of spreading the excellence one guitarist at a time. Raptor picks are a registered design and all rights are owned by Black Carbon. I hope I made a sufficiently persuasive case for this podcast being episode 101 instead of 100. My DRs are pretty and melodious, and for now I'm happy. Get your 5-year-old a keyboard. If a disinterested third party tells you in no uncertain terms that you have baby Mozart, what you must do is have a luthier who will measure and build a tunable, perfectly scaled guitar for your 5-year-old size, and have someone who knows how to work with gifted children work with them. Short of that, get them a keyboard and allow them to intuitively learn about music. Save the guitar for a few years hence. Tuesday night at 7:30, you can hear the gallery talk, The Genius of Les Paul at the Mahwa Museum in Mahwa, New Jersey, which will be given by Dr. Charles Carreras and contributed to by Jim Wysocki. Nice playing, Bridget. You go, girl. When all the spring breakers return, I hope you'll have some company. Other than my groovy, robust 9-chord form, they're all a bit anemic and lack their roots. The gorgeous champagne taste of the Gresh 130th Anniversary G6128T LTV 130th Anniversary Junior Duo Jet in both righty and lefty models are now available. The Collector Series doesn't contain many double cutaways, so check it out if that's something you're looking for. Get your fill of Coachella if you didn't or can't go with videos and an app. If you'd like to further assist Superstorm Sandy survivors, Sandy NJ Relief Fund will put 100% of your contribution to excellent use. The recovery here is going to take years. Don't forget the Les Paul and Mahwa exhibit at the Mahwa Museum in Mahwa, New Jersey, which is open Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and the marvelous tribute to Les Paul by Lou Palo, the trio, and other musical friends called Thank You Les. If you're not comfortable, your guitar isn't either, so don't leave your guitar in a cold car or basement or a hot car or attic. Humidify if your guitar lives in an environment in which there is less than 40% humidity. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you so much for your time and for joining me for episode, what I'm calling 101, or something like that, of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes, which you can find on the podcast page of my website and on the blog. The show notes on the podcast page of the website will only be the current show's show notes. Current and previous show's show notes will all be archived and are locatable at the blog. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 101, or something like that, of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to anything that I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes, which can be found on the podcast page of my website and on the blog. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, which is GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please make a mental note that there's no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your questions for the Question of the Week segment. If I use it, I'll be glad to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique, and I am not a tweeting maniac. I have not tweeted much over the last few weeks, but I do tweet to update anyone following me, and I retweet what I think is interesting. On my homepage, the podcast page of my website, and on the Guitar Technique Tutor blog, which now contains all 2013 show notes and audio archives going back to the first low sound quality episode, you'll find links to subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. It's best to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glenrock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, the Hamlet of Ramapo, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Tuxedo Park, Upper Saddle River, Viola, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, calling is best, and my number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Whether you are a beginner guitarist, a gigging pro, or any level in between, a genuine Raptor guitar pick will catapult your playing forward. Visit RaptorPicksUSA.com to order yours today. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence, one guitarist at a time.